Hello and welcome to Pumped, the Inside Podcast by Schwalbe. I'm your host Tobias Wogon, and I'm talking here with Schwalbe athletes from different disciplines, from downhill to cross country, or from triathlon to road racing. And today I'm talking to Jasper Okerlund, who's one of the best gravel racers in the world. In this episode, we talked about his season, the upcoming gravel racing scene in Europe, and the development of this new format. Hey Jasper, thanks a lot for taking the time to do the podcast with us. Where are you right now?
I am currently at home in the Netherlands. I live in Amstelveen, so very close to Amsterdam. Mm-hmm. And we're just before Christmas, so weather is pretty cold here. We had some nice ice on the waters, on the canals. So I've been doing some ice skating last weekend.
Yeah, I've seen some videos of you doing ice skating. That looks pretty professional.
Yeah. Now, for me, I'm not so professional because my girlfriend's family, they're all over ice skating and they are really professional. So okay. If I go with them, I feel like an amateur. But yeah. It's really fun to do, you know. It's it's crazy in Holland how people like ice skating. Yeah. And it's very rare that it's possible to do ice skating. And even in these times with the changing climate, we're always scared that there will never be ice again. So yeah. When there was ice, everybody is quitting his daily work. And in the morning, everybody is looking for spots that you can go on the ice. And yeah, it's really a magical feeling when you're on the water where you normally can't be, and then when you glide over the ice, it's really cool.
Yeah, it looks amazing. Is it like a Netherland version of a powder day, like when there is some...
yeah I have never been in a country that powder day was really a thing, but I can suppose it's exactly the same thing. Yeah. yeah it's the same. Yeah because also with the first track you also have it on the ice that you can go hit ice which have never been hit before.
Yeah.
The thing with ice is, yeah, maybe you have also the avalanches, but with the ice it's a little bit scary in the beginning, you know, if you don't want to go through the ice in the water. It can be dangerous. So normally I don't go on the first ice, but when I saw some people went there, then I'm going there as well.
Okay, yeah, that's funny. So you're doing it as a part of your training, or it's just for fun?
Both. It's really fun, but with that weather conditions, training outside on the bike is really dangerous as well, because there's a lot of ice on the roads. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you have a big chance of crashing. And I prefer to go ice skating. It's a different type of training, which I always like to get a little bit out of the comfort zone and do new things. And it's, yeah, normally not that you're like 2 weeks not on the bike and ice skating. It was like 2-3 days I went ice skating instead of on the bike. So yeah, it was a good change.
Yeah, I think after a year on the bike, it's good to have something different to do, huh? Sometimes.
Yeah, really, really.
Yeah.
Also, I think the coaches, the performance coaches in the World Tour, they are going more and more into multidisciplinary training and develop your body, especially when you're younger, in multiple ways. And then when you're older, you pick the direction you want to go and focus on that.
Yeah.
But I'm also a big fan of that. To train the whole body and be multidisciplinary,
and become
a better athlete.
And especially these days where you have so many different disciplines you can do. I mean, you go on a mountain bike, you go on a road bike, you go on a gravel bike, and everything is... I mean, these days you need your body a lot more than just going on a road bike. I mean...
Yeah. It's true. Yeah. My girlfriend is always doing the core stability exercises. And mm-hmm. then sometimes I tease her a little bit and I say that like I do that on the bike, you know, when I go mountain biking or gravel biking.
Yeah. Yeah,
but for sure it's good to do it, to build a good base. But I think when you're riding off-road, then you train already a lot more of your body than when you're only on the road.
Definitely. And to be honest, it's way more fun training it on a bike than just doing core stuff in your living room or in the gym. And So you started racing and you did a lot of different racing, and these days you're racing gravel. But when did you start to race against the clock or race against other athletes?
I actually started cycling already when I was really, really young. I started when I was 8 years old in the in the youth categories. It was playing and just for fun, but it was quite young, and I'm also proud that I'm still I'm now 32 years old, so it's 24 years later and I still enjoy the bike, and I still do it with a lot of fun, and I'm still a professional athlete, so yeah, that's pretty cool, and I think something to be proud of, and also teach to other cyclists that fun is the most important thing to do what you like, and also for when you are really focused on results, sometimes you forgot that you need to have fun to get the best out of yourself and to keep doing it for a longer time and consistently. And I'm proud of myself that I did that well. And definitely the different types of bikes help me with that, so I can have some variation in my training and in my racing, and also develop my skills better to know what type of athlete I am, where are my strengths, where are my weaknesses, and to develop myself. So
so that sounds great. So when did you choose, or when did you decide to race gravel full time? Because I mean, and how happy were you that gravel developed so good? Because I mean, you're one of these riders who have so many skills on the bike, and this is, if you're just riding road, it's just I mean, off-road, it's so much better for you, I think, huh? With all these skills.
I started gravel riding racing like I think 2 years ago. I was riding with Trek, and we discussed the next season and what my plans are, and they asked me if I was interested in gravel. I was already doing a mountain bike marathon a lot, beach racing, and still some road. Then my friend Ivar Slik, who's also supported by Svalbe, and he was also he was stepping down a little bit from continental level of road racing and also looking for a new challenge. And he was also thinking about gravel, and then we decided to go together on a gravel campaign, and we knew also from Laurens ten Dam. He's a big famous cyclist in Holland. He was already doing some gravel in the VS, in America. And we thought, let's go to America and go for the biggest gravel race, Unbound. And let's see how it is. And that's where it all started.
So when you stepped down from road racing or from mountain biking, did you know that gravel will become something big, or was it just for fun in the beginning?
In the beginning it was for sure just for fun. I liked the challenging and adventurous vibe around gravel. And already in training I was I was doing a lot gravel like rides, you know, so longer rides off-road and exploring the roads. And it was just a cool challenge for me to do that also as a race. So just go not on the paved roads, but just explore new roads and race it. So that was pretty cool. And after that, I saw how big it was, but also the brands, how many interest there was in the sport. And then I thought, yeah, this can be big. But now since last year, when also Ivar, I won Gravel Locos, and Ivar won Unbound. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then we really saw like, whoa, it's now it's getting really serious, and we got contacted by a lot of brands and bike part producers, and then we saw like, whoa, they're really focusing on gravel in the next upcoming years.
Yeah.
And also riders, you know, like cyclists, that so many people in Holland came to me and asked, how was Unbound? It looks so cool, I want to do that as well, and which gravel races should I do next year, and I'm buying a gravel bike. So yeah, now you feel really that everybody's into gravel and want to do it themselves.
Yeah.
And that's the cool thing about gravel, you know, it's not like a watch sport, but it's a participation sport.
Yeah.
So everybody can do the same event, enjoy the same adventure, and after it's you're together, you have a beer and a barbecue, and you can both enjoy the same experience. And that's what makes it really cool and different from road racing, or even from mountain bike cross country. That's a really big difference, and that's why so many people can do it and enjoy it.
Yeah. So what you already said, I mean, the vibe around gravel is so different than everything else, because yeah, I mean, gravel racing is still you having a beer and a barbecue with your idols, with the race winners, and it's not, I mean, on one hand it's super super professional, but on the other hand it's like a all together event, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's also where you feel really the difference in America, the VS, and Europe, and also between different events. You start to get more events now, and like the Gravel World Championships. Mm-hmm. I did also in Italy, and that felt more and more like a world tour race.
Yeah.
Not the community vibe, and also not everybody started at the same time, only the pros started together, so that was completely different. Although the course was still interesting and more nice than a road race, but less nice than some other gravel events. And in the US you see that there you have really the community. The day before the race you have a shakeout ride. You go with top contenders and with easy riders that only go one time a week with the bike, and you ride all together, and you have already a drink, and you chat to everybody, and everybody is so enthusiastic.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, yeah, what I experienced in the US was that everybody that complete the course, even if it's the small distance or the long distance or the extremely long distance, everybody is a winner, you know. And and even at Unbound, there's more attention for the people that finish in 1,000 or 2,000 position than for the first, because everybody stays at the finish line and at the finish area, and they're screaming and yelling and making applause for the people that have to come inside. And that's so cool. That's how you want to enjoy cycling, you know, together.
Yeah. And do you think this is also possible in Europe, or it's just an American thing?
Yeah, I think it will always be a little bit different, but you see also in Europe that there are some events where the vibe is different, and where people stay after the finish line and they have fun together. But yeah, it can be quite the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hopefully, huh? I mean, for me,
yeah,
one part of gravel racing is this this emotion, this this vibe around these races, and I hope that will stays like this, even if the sport getting more professional in the next couple of years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think because the sport is growing, you will get all different type of events, and mm-hmm. if you like more the events with the community, I think you can find some cool events. I also did some events that were like more days, you know, so you sleep at the campsite and then you have a course on the first day, and you have a course on the second day, and you have a night fire, and and then you maybe it's not really racy like that was not really like it was a real race. Mm-hmm. But I also enjoyed to do that, and there you had that vibe that I recognized from America.
Yeah, and it's again it's so different from one race to the other, and that makes the sport so nice and so cool, huh?
Yeah.
So talking about EVA, so you have so many good gravel racers or cyclists in the Netherlands, and Netherlands is such a small country. How comes that so many good riders are from this place?
Yeah, I think we are also early adapters that because of Lawrence, he was already a couple of years riding gravel races in America. And he inspired me, Ivar, but also now Nicky Terpstra and a lot of other guys in Holland to do the same. And for sure, the road racing scene is also strong in Holland. But now we are really strong riders that were road racing before. They joined gravel racing early on, and we have because we did Ivar won inbound when he did it for the second time. Mm-hmm. So I did it two times together with him, and then the second year you need really the experience to win an event, you know. So you know the course, you know how to prepare, and that we have an advantage because we started earlier.
Yeah.
I think when in Germany more people start to do it, and in Belgium, it will only be more interesting. Mm-hmm. But then it will be probably more split between the countries.
Yeah. So as you already said, I mean, you need the experience because gravel racing is not road racing on gravel. It's a completely different sport, and it's also not mountain biking on skinny tires. It's completely different. So what makes a good gravel racer?
Difficult question, because you have different types of gravel events also. So you have some events like Unbound that is really long distance and not very technical. But you have also events that are a little bit shorter and more technical. And then you also have like the World Championships that are really fast and really looks like road racing more. Mm-hmm. But I think what the most gravel races have in common is that you for sure have some off-road skills, and if you learned that in cyclocross or in MTB, can all be different, but it's an advantage if you have off-road skills, definitely. Mm-hmm. And the type of riding is the performance, from a performance perspective, it's the speed is slower, so it's normally it's less about aerodynamics and really intense sprints after corners, which you have on the road. Mm-hmm. Less peak power, but it's more like a steady power for a very long period. Mm-hmm. Like a long climb or like a mountain bike marathon ride, in which you really have really high average and normalized power over the whole effort.
Mm-hmm. But how do you train for these kind of events? Because I mean, all the mountain bike guys and some of the road bike guys, they training on Swift during winter. Is it also possible to train on Swift for gravel race, or do you need to go on the bike to train?
Yeah, for sure, it's an advantage if you go on the same bike, so to get used to the bike. Mm-hmm. But riding on the road or riding on the mountain bike can also help you to develop yourself as a cyclist. I think a good combination is good.
Okay, and how do you train in Netherlands? Because I mean, all the guys from California, they're training in the sun the whole year round, and the guys from Spain, they're having good conditions, and then you are in the Netherlands. It's not the best weather in the winter. So how do you train in the winter?
Yeah. In the winter, off-road is a good solution, and in the winter we train on the beach a lot. So I live quite close to the beach. We also race on the beach in the winter. I have a special bike, mountain bike, that's really tuned for riding on the beach. Okay. With a very wide 2.500-inch Schwalbe G1 tires. Mm-hmm. And that makes me really float over the sand. And the advantage of riding on the beach in the winter is that there is no, the water soaks into the sand, so you have no wheel spray of the people in front of you.
Yeah.
And it's really, it depends on the conditions, but it can be quite heavy to make speed on the sand, so you need to push and you stay warm, and that had two very big advantages. And yeah, if you follow me on Strava and on Instagram, you can see that we in the winter we ride a lot on the beach, but also in the dunes, because there's less water, less mud, and you stay warm and do a really good and also nice training.
Yeah, I mean, racing on the beach, I've seen some pictures and it looks, how is racing on the beach? Because as you said, I mean, it's not rolling so fast and it's kind of hard to keep your speed, but racing against other people, I mean, it's what is the format? How long are the races? How hard are they?
I like to explain this question because a lot of people don't. It's very rare that you see this sport, so it's new to the people. So I like to explain how it works because I really love racing on the beach. The cool thing about racing on the beach is that it's very short races, so it's normally between 1 hour and 1.5 hours, so a little bit longer as cyclocross. Mm-hmm. And the cool thing is it's also a participation mass event format, so everybody starts together at the same time, so you can also ride like in gravel with your neighbor, for example. He can start the same event. And then a common mistake that people think about the beach is that it's all that the beach is straight and boring. Mm-hmm. And it's all the same. But when you go really riding on the beach, you will see that the beach is never the same. And there is a lot of difference in types of sand. There can be water in the middle of the beach, so you have to pick your right line. The tide can change. So when the water is really high, you have to ride really close to the dunes. And then you have really the loose sand, which mm-hmm. is completely different than hard packed sand. So the conditions on the beach always change. And also sometimes we go off the beach and on the beach, for example, to the boulevard or to some dune section. And then you have really to cross the loose sand parts, which is pretty technical and normally like a 1 or 2 minute effort. Mm-hmm. And there you can really make a difference. So yeah, it's the nice thing is that the racing is very, very interesting because it's like a short road race. It's between a short road race and the cyclocross. So you have a little bit of tactics, but you stay normally together with groups between from 5 or 8 or 2 guys. So there is tactics in place, but there was also a technical element, and for sure also a very physical element because it's it's heavy all the time.
Yeah, I can imagine. But it's not a from A to B race. It's like you're riding in rounds and circles.
The most races changed to laps. Mm-hmm. We had always one very famous race. It's called Hoek van Holland Den Helder. And it goes from the completely south of the Netherlands to the completely north. And it was 135K straight over the beach. And we had only 2 times where we had to cross the harbor of Scheveningen is one time. And another time is there we crossed the canal with the boat. So the time was there standing still.
Yeah.
But that's a really cool and famous race that is from A to B. But most other races are or one big lap or 2 or 3 laps with some crossings of the dunes. So there are different formats in different races. But
Hey, this
is it's cool.
This is so cool. I mean, you don't have the mountains to go cross country skiing, so you go on the ice and go ice skating. You don't have these sunny trails or dry trails like in Italy, so you go on the beach. This is pretty cool.
Yeah,
I really like it.
Me too. When I think about it like that, it's yeah. You have to adapt to the circumstances, you know, yeah. And that's what we do.
Yeah, and the best way possible. I mean, that really sounds like fun, but it also sounds like really, really like a hard race.
I mean. it's hard. Yeah.
So, in especially in Unbound, but also in some other gravel races, you're using these aerodynamic bars where you lean on the handlebar to be more aerodynamic and faster. But you say it's not aerodynamic, it's not that big factor like in road racing, but you're still developing aero socks. So what is the story behind aero socks and why are they good for gravel racing?
When we go straight to the aero socks point, I'm selling socks, cycling socks. My brand is called Sokkeloen, so my last name with the S in front,
which is really
and,
funny.
yeah, when I was racing on a continental level as a road cyclist, I saw that there were a lot of socks on the market, but not the socks that I liked. And then as a side job, I started to buy socks and selling them through Facebook and later online to my own webshop. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing that now for already like 12 years and growing every year my company a little bit. And like already for 8 years, I was thinking about the advantage of an aero sock, because you have all this aero skin suits and mm-hmm. materials that are aerodynamically faster than your skin. But people were riding still with normal socks in the race. And a normal sock has so many small terry structures that it catches really a lot of wind. Mm-hmm. So then I thought of a solution to combine the Lycra aerodynamic material that comes out of the shoe with a sock part that's mm-hmm. in the shoe. So you have the aerodynamic advantage on the part that's touching the wind. And lately we have done also a lot of testing in the wind tunnel with the University of Eindhoven. And we already knew that the difference between an aero sock and a bare skin or a normal sock was big. But now we also found out the difference between different materials. And our goal was to develop the fastest aero sock on the planet last year. And we finally did that by testing and comparing competitor socks and our different samples. And that's pretty cool. Cool development and things I focus on when I'm not on the bike.
Okay, this is pretty cool. I mean, you're having these socks, you racing the races like Unbound in aero suits, you're having these aero bars. So how big is a part of aerodynamic in gravel racing these days?
Aerodynamic is a big part. Why I said that it was not as big as on the road is because the average speed is lower. Mm-hmm. So in Unbound, for example, we race average at 33k an hour. So mm-hmm. The average speed is lower. But on the other hand, the race is very long. So if you are, so it's longer. So that can make a bigger impact. Mm-hmm. But it's also depending on the race situation. When you're in a big group, like this year, they finish with a group of six. And when you're in a group, you only touch the wind like a part of the race. So that makes also an impact on how important your aerodynamics is. Altogether, aerodynamics is always a very big impact of your total resistance as a cyclist. So it always makes an impact. Mm-hmm. And the cool thing about gravel is that there were no rules. So people could experiment with equipment. And one game changer is really the aero bars. So if you go from a normal handlebar to an aero bar position, it's like changing from a road bike to a time trial bike. So that's such a big difference that also when you have an average speed of 35k an hour, it makes a really, really big impact. And that's where a lot of discussion is about and what's typical for gravel racing, but also what's now a discussion point in terms of if the racers want that there's being raced with aero bars or not.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because, like I told, the groups are getting bigger, the competition is getting stronger. In the past, in gravel, it was, especially in Unbound, everybody came to the finish one by one. But because the competition is stronger and the groups are getting bigger, people stay together more and more. And mm-hmm. yeah, when you're in a group and everybody is on aero bars, they say it's more dangerous. And yeah, I can understand that. It's true. But last year, when I was preparing for Unbound, I saw that the winners of the years before had aero bars, and a lot of good riders used aero bars. So I saw that and I understood that it was a big advantage. So I developed also with some friends of mine in Holland and in combination with the aerodynamic research I was doing for the AeroSox, I developed an aero bar that was custom shaped to my arm. So I had really good comfort, good bike handling, and I could be in it for like 10 hours for the Unbound performance. And also I could be more aerodynamic. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was my my weapon, and it helped me really a lot to be to be more aero and to be also strong when I was when I go solo in the front.
Yeah.
So
you're putting a lot into the sport, huh? Developing socks, developing bars, and just having ideas how to have your impact on the sport. What are your wishes? How should the sport develop in the next years?
For me personally, because I put so much effort in the. In the custom aero bars, I thought it was very smarter than I was already ahead of the competition, and that's why I would like to keep using it and have that advantage. But on the other hand, I can understand also the safety impact, and if everybody is if everybody is going to race with aero bars in the groups, it can has an impact on the safety, and I want also safe racing.
Yeah.
So I don't know yet what will be the consensus about aero bars. You know, if like 95% of the pro riders want for Unbound that it will be banned, then I can understand and I will agree.
Yeah.
But for my personal preferences, for me, I have an advantage now, so I keep using the aero bars for me would keep an advantage for me, so that would be good for me.
Mm-hmm. And in overall, I mean, gravel racing is coming over to Europe, more events get developed and it's all over the place, and you as one of the top athletes in the sport, I mean, you have a voice to make a difference on the sport. So what are the changes you want to make, or what do you want to make sure that it stays like this?
What I like about gravel racing is the participation thing of it. So I would like to have an event that everybody starts together,
mm-hmm.
all levels. For sure, it's good to have the better riders starting in front, and the other riders are more in the back, so you don't have problems in the first 2K, for example. But the idea to start all together and for amateur racers to hang on to the pro group as long as they can. I think that's really nice and really challenging for mm-hmm. for everybody. Also the type of course for me is really, really important. You know, like I told before, I started gravel racing because I like the adventure mm-hmm. and I like to go out on the bike and see parts you can discover on the road bike. And I won't like if there will be gravel races that you have like short laps on gravel roads, but not so adventurous. Mm-hmm. And for me, I hope the gravel will develop like this, that it stays smart, that it will be a lot of big events with a lot of happy people and adventurers.
Yeah, that sounds really good, and I also hope that it stays like this. And the fun is the most important thing in racing overall, but especially in gravel. And hopefully they will keep the vibe alive and just creating a really, really cool new racing scene. So
yeah. What's also cool is that some people they start cycling, but they don't start cycling with a road bike. They start cycling with a gravel bike. Mm-hmm. There's a new group of people that are into cycling now because of gravel. And yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, giving them the chance to measure themselves against you fast guys, I think this is a really cool adventure for them, or really cool challenge for them, to riding on the same track on this with the same starting group. And yeah, I hope they keep that. I really like the idea. So 2022 was a really successful year for you. What will be your focus for 2000? For next year.
For next year, I will have the same focus points. So Unbound Gravel is big, and also the World Championships Gravel is a big goal. Mm-hmm. The last 2 years, I had mechanical problems in both my competitions at Unbound. So I hope this year I can limit my losses with the technical damage and really compete with the best and compare myself with them. Really looking forward to that. I hope to be in a final after like 8 or 9 hours, and see how that will be and how my legs will feel at that point, and if I'm able to win that race.
Yeah. Okay, so that sounds really good. But after a whole winter of beat racing, I think your legs will be fine, huh? You will have the power and the legs from beat racing.
yeah. I train a lot different, but it's a bit similar to the guys that do cyclocross in the winter.
Yeah,
it's a very good and intense training, and the conservative thought about training in winter and building only the base is, I think, a little bit outdated. And now people do intensive efforts also in the winter time, and I do that on the beach. And in the beginning of the year, around January, February, March, I will start doing a little bit more hours. Maybe go sometimes to Spain to be able to do some more hours, and then mm-hmm. and then I will work on the base and more the endurance training to be prepared for Unbound in the beginning of June.
Okay, hey, thanks a lot for your time. It was really a pleasure to talk to you and get to know gravel racing a little bit more. So thanks a lot for that. And now I wish you a really good Christmas time. So this is the last podcast before Christmas, and hopefully you enjoy the time. And I wish you all the best, and happy holidays.
Yes, thank you too. It was really nice to be a guest here in the podcast.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.